Maybe they had waited, you know, to the 30th day and said, well, you know, I know he's alive, but, you know, maybe I'll come back later. On the day of Pentecost, there's only 120 there. He hadn't told them how long to wait. He said, tarry at Jerusalem, wait until you be endued with power. We don't know when he's coming back, but he's told us to wait. He's coming back. He is coming back. That's what he said in 2 Thessalonians. Paul said, I don't want you to be carried away by, you know, letter or any kind of false doctrine that this day shall not come until there come first the rebellion and that man of sin be revealed. Amen. But we know that the Holy Spirit is very close to taking us out of here. Amen. Amen. The atmosphere is going to change. The Bible says we're going to be caught up. You know, around you, there's going to be like a vacuum. All the spirits will have to just disappear from that, from your taxiway, so to speak. Amen. And suddenly there came a sound of from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. That's why it's good to have prayer on Sunday morning. Change the atmosphere. You know, because we live in a city that is just full of demonic oppression. You know, maybe it's not a good thing, but sometimes when people ask me where I'm from, I say Pergamos. And those of you who are good Bible students will know that Pergamos was one of the seven churches. And in Revelation, it said it was where Satan dwelt. Well, Satan would like to dwell everywhere. But you know what? We have more power and more weapons that our Bible says are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Not stuff that we can do by ourselves, but he can do it. Amen. So the first thing we have to do, if you want victory, if you want to start using your weapon properly, is you got to clear the atmosphere. If you're in a house or around some negative people, you have to, first of all, clear the atmosphere. The best way to do that is just start praising God. Start thinking of all the good things God has done for you. Lord, you delivered me before. I can imagine David when he was facing Goliath, he said, he's delivered me from the bear and the lion, so who is this person going to stop me now? Are you better than a bear and a lion, Goliath? I don't think so. Amen. You see, what you have to do is clear the atmosphere. You know, on my way to where I get in my car, I put on my sunglasses so nobody can see me, and I just start to talk to God or worship or thank him for his mercy and his grace. And I might even cry, but I got my glasses on. No one can see. Amen. I just start to thank God and clear the atmosphere, clear my head. Amen, Sister Brownie.
Talking about the news, and I don't want to give it any glory, but a good example was what happened at Wisconsin Dells yesterday, where two families were sitting down, and literally over one chair, they began to fight, and the results were just horrendous. There were children standing around, but we really have to be prayerful. Summer hasn't even begun yet, especially in the city of Milwaukee. People get really, really crazy, but we really need to stay prayerful. And just to show that, you know, the enemy is working in the children of disobedience, but they were throwing chairs. It was ridiculous what happened. That just goes to show how the enemy is just getting into people and their attitudes.
Amen. Amen. But you know what? We have a power. We have weapons. First weapon is to clear the atmosphere with praise. You know, you don't have to be singing a song, but you can be meditating on the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is my salvation. Amen. Psalms 27 or Psalms 48, the Lord is the lifter up of my head. Find something to meditate upon. God, you have blessed me. I don't care if I'm still in pain. You have done so much for me. I'm better than I deserve. Amen. The lunch lady asked me, I was in pain. And I may have answered a little bit hesitatingly, but she looked and said, how are you doing today? I'm better than I deserve. Amen. When we start to declare some things, we are using what God has given us, which is his words. Amen. He says, I love you and I will never leave you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Isn't that Romans 8 tells us? Height nor depth nor spirit nor whatever. You see, we need to first clear the atmosphere. Once we clear the atmosphere, then our prayers will be more successful. We taught last week about how Daniel's answer was given from the day he started to pray. But there was a fight going on. But he kept on praying and fasting until his angel came through. Amen. That's what we got to do. We have to give our angel power of attorney. And we do that by supporting and praying and fasting. Amen. So the first thing that happened on the day of Pentecost to start this amazing revival. Remember, 50 days ago, most of these people were shouting out what? Crucify him. How could they turn around on such a simple message that we read in Acts chapter 2? You know, we have some great preachers nowadays, right? Some great preachers, and they can preach for an hour. I don't know how long it would take to read Acts 2:38, but it doesn't sound too long. Oh, we are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that, amen, to take from Brother Joe Cipolli's new album. This is that which was spoken of by the... That's all he said, some simple words. How did it have such a great effect? Well, my explanation is the Holy Spirit had cleared out the atmosphere. There was no demons pressing on people and trying to get their attention. The Bible says that they became pricked in their hearts. Their conscience started to bother them. These were probably some of the same people just a month and a half ago who said, "Crucify." How is that possible? You can look at some people and say, how could this person ever be saved? Not through human means. How could Paul, who stood by and consented to the death of Stephen, be saved? Well, something from the heavens had to happen. The atmosphere around him had to change. The Bible says there came a voice, a word, and a light that struck him. And then he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" See, when God interferes, when the atmosphere is cleansed, then you can have deliverance, you can have healing, you can have victory. If you don't clear the atmosphere first, you're going to have a hard time. That's why when we come Sunday morning at 9:30, our intent should be to clear the atmosphere. Our mind should start to get focused upon God. That's what we need to do when we come in here at 9:30. Not to be talking, but to be praying. So that when people come in here, the atmosphere is so changed. The worship is so anointed, so powerful. The word can find good soil. But if all we're doing is this, we're not changing the atmosphere. We're just making it hotter. The key to the day of Pentecost was that the Holy Spirit, look at this, filled all the house. There, I don't believe in Jerusalem there was a demon for 50 miles. I really don't. That's just my belief. Because on that day, with just a simple message, 3,000 souls came to Christ. And the noise, it says the noise, it was noised abroad. What's going on over there? What's going on? There's people that pass this church sometime and they'll say they didn't know it was a church. Now, how is that possible? I'll tell you why. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes. We need to clear the atmosphere around this block. So suddenly, although they've heard it before, they actually hear, hey, there's worship going on over there. I want to check that out. That sounds good. When you clear the atmosphere around yourself, people will actually want to be around you to hear what you have to say. Amen. Amen. I was talking to a lady at work. And I told her I was a pastor, and this was some time ago, and I told her I had written some studies. So the other day she came to me and she said her son was studying to be, wanting to go to seminary. So I said, oh, that's good. So then she sent me an email and said, could you send me some of your Bible studies? And I thought, that's awesome. Yes. That's something about the atmosphere changed. I didn't have to ask her anything. She actually wrote me an email and said, you told me about some Bible studies. Could you send me some? See, when you have cleared out the atmosphere, and this is so important, before the day of Pentecost, before it filled them, every demon, I believe, in Jerusalem had to clear out of the way. God put a boundary around that place so that the word could go forth unhindered. After that, it said, it filled all the house where they were sitting, and then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Began to speak. Again, the word began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Anyone know why there were all these people there at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? Why? What was special about the Feast of Pentecost? Right? It was a harvest festival. Right? Three times a year, on three of the feasts, God commanded everybody to come to Jerusalem. See how God arranged it so that there'd be all these people there when he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are four other feasts, but on those other four feasts, everybody was not commanded to come. But on Passover, on Pentecost, and on the Feast of Tabernacles, every believer, every Jew, every converted Gentile was required to come to Jerusalem. And that's why there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, because God wanted this noised abroad. Amen. When God uses you, he will arrange the circumstance. He will arrange the situation so that you can have maximum impact. Amen. Again, we need to make sure that the weapon covers us. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. It filled the house. It filled the house. You know, the Pharisees were still wanting to kill anybody who mentioned Jesus. And they couldn't. They arrested them, and they still couldn't kill them because they were covered this time. We see this covering when the temple was dedicated. 1 Kings 8, 9. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. When the cloud fills the house, there is nothing going to stop God's work, his mercy, his grace, miracles. That's what we want. You know, I have the film here. I'll have to post it sometime, of whatever it was that was flying around in here. Remember I showed some of you? And it almost really fulfilled a vision I had about 2 years ago on a Thursday night. I was praying there, and I saw like snow falling, but it wasn't snow. It was gold flakes. And I showed you that video that we caught on the camera. Some people say it's dust, but it was strange dust because some of it was moving upwards and acrosswards, and it was like gold. And we couldn't see it during the service, but on the camera, it was there. I'm going to post that on Facebook. You see, when the atmosphere is changed, miracles can happen. Faith is released. Amen. This is a very powerful weapon. We're talking about the weapons of our warfare. And one of them is to let the Spirit, the wind, fill the house. Amen. When we start to praise God, when we start to worship, amen, the atmosphere can be changed. It came to pass that after they had dedicated the temple, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister. That's what I want. I want the glory of God to just fill this place on Sunday, every Tuesday night, every Thursday when we come to pray. That when you enter in here, you feel a difference, an atmosphere where the demons are locked out at the door. Amen. Well, they can't come any closer. Amen. They have to stay outside. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now, the way to do that is, if you're in the army and you're on the battlefield, you are responsible personally for your own weapon. You know that? You are responsible to clean it, open it up, take it apart, make sure that it's oiled, that it can fire, because, you know, your life may depend on it. So if you're in the army and you're in a place where you can get shot and you may have to fight, you're making sure that that thing is well oiled and not going to jam and everything's fine, because when you pick it up, you want it to be in good working order. Now, let me tell you how we do that. We have to have our weapon with us all the time. You can't have to go Google some scripture. Amen? You should all have a scripture. Thy word have I hid in my... Not on the internet. Not in Google. You know, we should all be able to quote a scripture to fit our situation. I've said that over and over again. I'm saying it again. Here's what Jesus says. I am the vine, John chapter 15, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, here's verse 7. This is talking about the weapons. If ye abide in me, and my words, let's say it together, my words, we should have a word, not our word, to apply to the situation. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, it may not be done the way we want it to, but if we trust God, it's going to work out okay. Amen. See, God did not answer my prayer about my house, and I don't want to tell you that again, but the way I thought, but when he did answer, it was so much better. So much better. If he had answered it when I wanted to, it wouldn't have been as good as when he did. But you know what? I had to learn to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. It's the waiting that is hard, isn't it? When Satan says, well, I don't think he's coming. I don't think he heard you. See, that's when you have to tell him, Satan, get thee behind me. Amen. You have to find a word for that. It is written that God cannot lie. It is impossible by two immutable things that God shall lie. That's what you need to tell Satan when he starts to come with these. You need to have that sword, that word, that covering over you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Amen. That's what we want. Now I'm not going to go too much further, but I'll start this next part. We talked about filling the house, but another aspect that the scripture talks about is to bind the strong man. You know, you may be dealing with some demonic forces, some princes, some sub-lieutenants in situation you're dealing with, and you have to first take authority over them before you can really make an impact. Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever he shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. On Sunday, we'll really go into this more fully. Mark 3:27 says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he will first bind the strong man. So when we're facing some strongholds in our lives or some in our family, we have to understand that we're not fighting that person. Remember what the scripture says? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But the scripture also tells us, and this goes back to what I said in the very first lesson about the fact that we are in a parallel world, because the Bible tells us that we are right now seated. Now, how can that be? You can't see it. Right? You can't see it. It's by faith. Amen? It's by faith. Sunday, I'll be continuing this. It's 8 o'clock, so if you could stand with me. I want to always leave you wanting more. Amen. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It goes on to say, we're going to talk about the agreement, the power of agreement. If two agree concerning anything. Amen. You know, if you've got a really hard spiritual thing, you need to find someone who is going to agree with you and pray together. There is a power of agreement. There is a power in agreement. We're talking about the weapons of our warfare, that they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Many times we come to church and we let these words just come in one ear and go out the other. But I'm encouraging you, first of all, to make sure that you don't have to Google a scripture. That you have a scripture. Meditate upon that scripture. Say it out into the air. Speak it out. Because the Bible says that the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And it's like spraying off for the devil. You know those mosquitoes, they don't like that off. You start saying God's word out, he's not going to like that. Fill the atmosphere, clear the atmosphere, spray some spiritual off into your atmosphere, and it'll change your whole environment. Amen. Because he has given us weapons, but most of us, we're not using them. You know, the devil has paralyzed us into not using what the word has given us. Amen. I want you tonight to take away from this that we need to change the atmosphere. God told the prophet, speak to the wind. Speak to the wind. But there's a valley of dry bones and they're dead. Speak to the wind. Well, I did it and it still didn't work. I saw a little progress, but it was still speak to it again. You know, if you prayed the first time and it didn't happen, do it again. That's what he told the prophet Ezekiel. Speak. Go and do it again. Second time, stuff started happening. Miracles started to come. The wind came. And we want a day of Pentecost experience Sunday. Wouldn't that be great? If this place was shaken Sunday. If suddenly the whole block around here was cleared out of all these demons and hoods and all of that stuff. And people's lives were changed. Do you believe it can happen? It can happen. It's according to our faith. Centurion said to Jesus, you know what? You don't have to come. Just speak the word. If the Syrophoenician woman can get her daughter exercised by just taking a crumb, what about us who are the children? We can get the whole bread. Amen. We need to clear out our atmosphere. And you see in the whole Old Testament how the wind played such a big part. It was the Spirit of God that assuaged the waters. It's translated wind, but in the Hebrew it's ruach. It was the wind that brought the quail. It was the wind that parted the Red Sea. And so many other things in the Old Testament. We need that wind to come and clear out our atmosphere. When you go home tonight, lay your hands on the walls of your house and just bind every spirit that wants to trouble you. You may have a peaceful night of sleep tonight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need to step up our faith and trust God and believe, because we are living in perilous times. They're not coming, they're here. Not perilous times shall come, perilous times are here. And the Bible says, in a time that he think not, you know, I'm looking for the next coin to drop, which would be when they say peace and safety, then really get worried. Really be at church. Come early and pray. Clear out the atmosphere. In Revelation, he says he's coming back for those who love his appearing. If there's stuff here that you love more than Jesus, then he would tell you, you're not worthy of him. If you love this one more than, you're not worthy of me. He's got to be first in our lives. First in our lives. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you tonight. Lord, we ask you to clear out the atmosphere in every aspect of our lives, that your word can have full effect, that your power can be manifest. Hallelujah.